Well, as Stefan said, today I'm going to be continuing with our Faith, Hope. I'm going to actually hold that Faith, Hope and Love series. And this morning the focus is on hope. We kind of have rooted this in the scripture where it talks about remaining, where Paul talks about the gifts. He's talking about love and then some gifts that are going to pass away. And then he talks about faith, hope and love as being the gifts from God to us that are going to remain, that are eternal. So that alone can fill us with hope. So this morning, what I really would love to do, what I've prayed is going to happen, is that as you hear the word of God and as you've been sitting and standing and worshiping and singing songs about faith and hope and trust in God, I'm just believing that you're going to be really encouraged this morning and that your hope is going to be lifted, and that actually maybe depending on how full you are of hope, maybe you might be actually really empty of hope, that you've lost your hope, that your hope barometer is just going to go up in degrees. Because do you know what? We have a God. Jesus Christ has died so that we can have this hope in him, and that is where our hopes need to be placed. So first of all, I just want to say, can you actually imagine, just for a moment, can you imagine what your life would be like without hope? And as I say that, I'm aware that there may be some here who feel like that this morning. And so it's not that you're just imagining it, but it's a reality for you. Can you imagine living your life without hope, without any expectation that whatever you're currently going through will ever end? Without the feeling that life will get better, without perhaps the excitement and anticipation of good things to come? Well, I can actually sense and feel that without hope, our lives would seem very futile, wouldn't they? They would just seem so futile. And so can you actually remember a time when you felt hopeless? Just think about that just for a moment. I know that I can. I can remember a time when I did actually feel completely hopeless. That was quite a few years ago now. 22 actually, 22 years ago when I felt completely hopeless. I thought that I didn't have a future. I thought that my girls were not going to have a future. But then God, through his word, showed me, and through his people, through this church, through the body here, showed me that I can hope again and that I can have hope. So this morning, I just want to say from the get-go, you can have hope. You can have hope this morning, and you can have as much of it as you would care to have, because God delights in giving us these gifts. He delights in it. And actually, out of faith, you know, there are lots of people that are actually living that are faithless, that don't have any religious faith at all, and they're still able to live. There are some people that are living actually in loveless situations where they don't feel loved, or they're not experiencing love, or they're isolated. But actually, to live without hope, that is such a difficult thing to contemplate and then actually live. To live without hope. But the good news is the gospel of Jesus Christ says that you can have hope, and you can have hope eternal. So in Romans 5:5, it said, "This hope does not disappoint us, for God has poured out his love in our hearts by means of the Holy Spirit, who is God's gift to us." These gifts just keep coming to us. The gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of faith, the gift of hope, and the gift of love, they just keep coming to us. But this hope that Paul is talking about is not just wishful thinking. Wishful thinking will always disappoint us. Life will sometimes disappoint us, that it didn't perhaps turn out as we hoped it would. People will disappoint us, I will disappoint some people and you will disappoint some people. That is just as human beings, we're not yet complete. Remember we said about being complete, that faith, hope and love completes us. God uses those to bring us to completion. We're not yet complete. We're living in that tension in between where we're still broken, but we have that hope that we are going to be made perfect one day, that we are perfect and we're working towards that God is doing that in us. And God's love has been poured out into our hearts to give us hope. Some of us may be disappointed that in God that he has actually allowed stuff to happen to us. But I just want to say there that sometimes the disappointments that we experience, God will allow us to experience disappointments in things that are not central to who he is, in things and other things other than him. Because God has a great desire for us. He desires for us to know him, and he desires for our lives to be different. And we will never actually find the life that we're all looking for apart from him. It's impossible. We're not going to find the life that we're actually looking for apart from him, because he is the source of life. So if we hope for things, no matter how good they are, they will leave us disappointed, because only God can bring true fulfillment. So I know that I'm speaking to some of you now that are actually living in disappointment. Maybe you've had past disappointments that you're still living in, that you haven't actually been able to get over, or that you haven't been able to move on from. And I know that some people have experienced horrendous things that actually it's going to take a lifetime to process that, and it's going to take a while to come through that. But I want you to know that God is there for you, even in the disappointments. If you look to him, he can give you hope again. He can give you hope again for your future. Hope is often described as the expectation that desires will be fulfilled, or as a feeling of assurance about current and future circumstances. However, hope is more than a positive attitude or an elevated assurance. Like faith and love, hope is a force. It functions within individuals. It functions within you and I and others to transform our lives. And actually, the very character of hope, because hope comes from God, true hope comes from God, as energy, that is energy that comes to us from God. It's an energy, it's a life force, because hope brings us life. And it can transform us into who God wants us to be and into the lives that we can have. And if we're running low on hope, we know where to go. When we're running low on hope, all we need to do is look to the Word of God, and his words are full of hope for us, for our, not only just for the future, but for our current situations. He is full of hope, and he wants us to experience his hope, because he wants to bring us life. Jesus said that I've died, that you can have life and have it to the full. We can have life to the full on the inside of us, regardless of what's going on around us. In 1 Peter 1:3, it says, "Let us give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he gave us new life by raising Jesus Christ from death. This fills us with a living hope." So the hope that we're talking about is a living hope. It's alive. And in fact, if you're still alive this morning, which I think you all are, then you can hope. When you're alive, there is still hope. In the land of the living, you can still see the good things that are to come. So are you looking forward to the good things that are to come? So this inheritance of living hope is more than a wishful thinking. When Peter refers to hope as living, he means it is undying and permanent. It's eternal. This hope is eternal. It's one of the gifts that is eternal. It is going to remain for the future. And actually, when we have this hope, we can be confident that a future blessing is waiting for us. the future blessing of knowing Christ fully as he fully knows us. In the Passion Translation, it says that we are reborn to experience a living, energetic hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So for those who believe in Jesus Christ, our hope extends beyond the grave. It extends beyond death. It is a living, eternal hope. I want to share with you just a little story of an encounter that I had this week. And it was a real gift to me, I have to say. I was quite surprised by it. I wasn't expecting it. So earlier on in the week, I was going to London to see my daughter. So that involved me going on the train. And so, you know, I got to London, got to Marylebone, and then I needed to go on the tube. So I, thankfully, there was a train right there as I got there, hopped on. And you always look around for a seat, don't you? Well, I do anyway. I don't like standing up on trains. And there were some people that were standing up. But I could see that on this side, there were a couple of seats vacant. And I thought, well, I'll take them. If no one else is going to take it, I'll take it. So I went and sat down. And pretty much as soon as I sat down, I realized why those two seats had not been taken. Because just, so a couple of, like, say here, there was this guy. I could smell the alcohol. But there was this guy, and his posture was one where he was sitting down and his hands were on his head. And he was, like, talking, you know, loads of stuff. He was talking about stuff. And the guy directly in front of him was kind of like, I think he was looking at his phone and, you know, just, like, ignoring him, as people often do on London trains. But so for me, being a country bumpkin, I like to say hi and hello to everyone and, like, strike up a conversation. But I know the culture in London, so now I just don't do that because, you know, I just don't. But all I know is that, so there's this guy, and I can hear some of the things that he's saying, and, like, everyone else is kind of, like, looking at him, and people are getting off, on and off the tube. And he has a little bit of a rant. And he offers the guy in front of him, he takes something out of his rucksack, and it's like a little plastic container of fruit, you know, from Sainsbury's. And he's giving, but this guy was like, no, just like that. He didn't speak to him. He just went like, no. And I thought, and so this guy was sort of like, but basically I was sat there and I started praying. The minute that I sat there with him next to me, I must admit, I started praying because I was thinking, oh gosh, I hope it's not going to kick off in here and I'm right next to him. I'm just being honest, okay? So I started praying for the situation. But as I was praying, I can just tell you that my heart, God filled my heart with compassion for this guy. And I could not only, and even now it makes me emotional, I could not only see his brokenness, but I could hear his brokenness. And he was actually full of despair. The gist of his story, and I think he was a guy from, it doesn't matter where he was from, but he had a different accent, so English was not his native tongue. And he sounded quite French, actually, and I love a French accent. So anyway, I was queuing in. Sorry, I was listening into that, and he was going on about that. You know, he's lost. Oh, I've lost my job, and I'm not going to do his accent. I've lost my job, and you know, my wife is. She thinks I've told lies, and she won't let me see my son. And he was just And on the times when he did look up. And I could see his face, you know, from the side. He looked quite grey. And he was a fairly young man. He wasn't dishevelled, but he obviously had been drinking. So there's me doing this. And as he was pouring out his heart, I thought, oh, gosh, what a place to pour out your heart on this train, you know, with people looking at you, but not really. And so anyway, I was going through, you know, I had this tension within myself, but I was praying for him. And then the train stopped and the guy directly in front of him got out. And the guy did say to him, like, I'm really sorry. And that guy was like, it's okay, whatever. And then he moved even further, actually, like he was trying to get away from me, you know. But he was over there. And so I felt like I needed to look at him. And he started talking again. And obviously he then turned and looked at me. And so because, you know, we made eye contact, he started talking to me. And he was talking to me and just telling me what was happening. And I was just kind of, I didn't really know what to do, to be honest. But I was just going, okay. And in my head, I was going, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do for this man? What do you want me to say? And I felt God say to me, tell him that he can still have hope. Okay. So he was talking. And then he looked at me and he said, "You're listening to me?" And I said, "Yes, I'm listening to you." I said, "And I just feel like I just want to say that God really cares about you and he wants you to have hope. He just wants to say that." And he immediately, went down again and was crying, but his hands came up and he said, "God is good." And I said, "Yes, he is really good. He's really good and he cares for you so much that he wants you to know that you can start again and you can have hope." And then he was just so happy. And he said to me, he said, "You've got gifts. You've got gifts." And I thought, like, oh, man, he's actually really encouraging me now. So this is hope in action. This is hope in action, right? Okay, so God, who is the only one that can give us hope, me sat there saying, "Oh, God, what can I do? Give him some hope." Tell him that I gave him hope. And then this guy starts giving me hope. He said, "You've got gifts." And I was like, and I didn't say this to him, but I was like, "Yeah, I've got gifts," you know, in my brain. I was like, "Yeah, I've got gifts." And he was going, "You've got gifts. You're a good listener." And he goes, "Yes, God is good. God is good." I said, he is. And I said, "And I don't know all your situation, but I just know that God wants you to have hope." So then, you see, we were kind of like, we were both getting off at the end of the run, yeah, when the train stopped. Actually, I think he was going to stay on, so I said, "I think we need to get off now." But then we were walking together and he kept chatting to me, and I must admit, I did think, "Oh gosh, I hope he's not going to follow me to my daughter's house, you know, what am I going to do?" I'm just being honest, because this is okay to be honest. So I was thinking this, but at the same token, and then we got to the bit when we were coming out and, you know, putting our tickets through or whatever, and he went the other way. But he just, he said to me, went into his rucksack and he pulled out this thing of fruit. And he said, here, have this. And I said, "No, you must need it." He goes, "No, look, I've got..." He had a little one of grapes from... He goes, "No, I've got money, because you have this fruit." And I really felt like I needed to receive that gift from him. Because, you know, when someone wants to give us something, so it's really good if we receive it, because it actually makes them feel good that they can contribute something and bless someone else. But I wasn't really thinking that at that time. I didn't have time for that. But he then gave me this fruit. And I said, "Oh, thank you so much." And he kind of like came at me to hug me. But all I want to say is his countenance from when I first saw him to when I last saw him was that his eyes lit up. He had color on his face. He was smiling. Now, I'm not sure what's going to happen to him from now on. But all I know is that God put me in that spot to give that man some hope. And that hope not only brought life to him, it actually brought life to me too. And remember, there were spectators, but to be honest, I wasn't even thinking of those. I just, you know, so there were people observing the situation while we were there. So hope is a living force. It's active and it works. It works to lift us up, to lift our heads. But actually, it's not just for us. My hope in Jesus Christ is secure. I know that. I absolutely know that. And I believe it with all my heart. But that's, he doesn't want me to just keep that to myself. And he doesn't want you to just keep your hope to yourself, whatever God has done for you. He wants you to share that hope. So just pray when you're in situations, because it works, and he'll tell you what to say when you don't know what to say. I just wanted to share that with you because I just felt so blessed. I felt that God had given me that gift actually for this message this week, because obviously I've been thinking about hope for ages now and thinking, how am I gonna do the application of this? Well, there it is. There's the application of hope, that we just need to be hope for people. In fact, the hope is a constant force seeking to enliven us, and its energy is immediate. Its energy is immediate. That guy immediately perked up. He immediately perked up. His eyes lit up. Hope is living and active. Believe it and use it. Hope's mission, because hope has a mission, God has a mission, and hope is from God. Hope's mission is to save us from a false sense of aliveness. That's why some of the things that we hope for, we do get. You know, we may hope for things and we may get them, but they're not where we're to place our real hope, our true hope, our everlasting hope. They're not where we're to place them. So rather than fulfill whatever fantasies claim our hearts, hope rescues us from a diminished life. And its mission to us is the same as its mission to the world: to bring life, to enliven, and to save the world from a false sense of aliveness. I'm just now going to read from Lamentations 3, 21. This is from the New Living Translation. It says, "Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him." So it is good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord, and it is good for people to submit at an early age to the yoke of discipline. And God has been so faithful to us as a church, hasn't he? He's been so faithful to us as individuals, but he's been so faithful through the years to us as a church. This week, Stefan and I were looking at pictures from years gone by of the church. They were taken actually from this view when this church was first built and they first started having their services in here. And actually, Ebby, I spotted you. You've actually moved today, but you were actually in this, you usually sit in the same spot that you were sitting in, you know, at that time. And I thought, there's Ebby. There were other people that I could see. John Neal was kind of like over there, but John's not here today. Gary Pond actually was right at the back. I believe it was Gary Pond. It looked like Gary Pond. But it was just so encouraging to see the church back then and just to be thankful for what God has already done. Let's be thankful. We can dare to hope because we know that he's been faithful. So there is going to be a response to this. And all I want to say is that, you know, we've all experienced disappointments, and you may currently be living in disappointment, but think of the things where God has been faithful in your life. You know, those stones that we make stones, piles of stones in the past, just not so that we stay in the past, but so that we can reflect and remember God's goodness and his faithfulness to us, because those things actually fill us with hope when we come to other situations that are difficult for us. We can have hope. Well, actually, God brought me through that situation, so I can trust in him to bring me through this one. So we can keep our hope. And not only can we keep the hope that we have, we can get more hope. Who wants more hope this morning? Okay, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to stand up as the band come up. Band, please, come up. Yeah, this is bish, bash, bosh this morning because, you know, God's at work within us. He's present with us. Did you feel that this morning? His presence with us this morning by his Holy Spirit. He's with us. If God is with us, who can be against us? As individuals, as a church, we're, you know, this church has got a heritage of believers that have just been believing and believing for people to become saved in this community. And I believe that we're going to see more of that this year. I do believe that if we can really just be confident in who we believe in and what he can do through us, I believe that we can change what our town looks like, change the culture in our town, change the faces of people in our town. And I say that because there are lots of downcast faces. There are lots of people like that guy living in our town that are just despairing and they need a word of hope. And you and I, we're it. We're the message. We're the carriers of hope. We need to be people that are willing to share what God has already done for us, because that little thing of fruit that guy gave me, when I took it to my daughters, I was able to, you know, tell her the story, and I was like, I don't know if, you know, we can eat it, because, you know, I was just being, you know, I'm just being honest, you know, I don't know if I want to eat this fruit. But what God showed me in that is that actually, you know, hope is the fruit, is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and we cannot contain it. If we contain it, it's no good to anyone. We're not going to, do you know what I mean? It's no good to anyone else. Let's be people that overflow, live in the overflow of what God has given to us. So this morning, maybe you just need to dare to hope again for your life and the lives of those around you. Maybe it's time to let go of past disappointments to move forward into a life of hope. Actually, I did say stand. Oh, not that you have to do what I say, but that's amazing. Thank you. But I'm just aware, you know, sometimes we need to stand. Sometimes we need to have a posture that we're going to receive from God and that we're in it. So where is your hope this morning? Are you hopeful or hopeless? Do people experience hope and life when they are with you? Are you able to bring hope into a situation? We can't actually share what we do not possess. So maybe you need to receive more hope this morning from God. Well, I'm here to tell you, you can have as much as you will receive, because it's freely given. God knows the plans he has for us to give us a future. So let's put our hope and trust in him. And for some, this could be the first time you've ever considered putting your hope in Jesus Christ. And if that's you, and if you're any of the others and you want to come up for prayer as the band is playing, then please come up and receive the good gifts that your Heavenly Father has for you, because he loves you and he cares for you. And he has great plans for you and us as a church. Let's walk in his ways and see our hopes and dreams coming to fruition. God bless you.